Hello, West Liberty. This is Alex. You are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Welcome to Academic Affairs, the third part of the four-part series titled Passionately Vocal. Today, I have Dr. Tim Borchers with me. He is currently the president of West Liberty University and has been since July 1st, 2023. He has previously served as vice president for academic affairs at Peru State College in Nebraska and as a dean and faculty member at Minnesota State University Moorhead. So far in his time as West Liberty University's president, Borchers has put strategic initiatives in place to make West Liberty a better institution. Those initiatives range from marketing strategies to advancing the school's mission and everything in between. An area of focus has been creating a transparent culture full of communication across campus. Borchers has a bachelor's degree in speech communication from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, a master's degree in communication from Wayne State University, and a PhD in communication, also from Wayne State University. Tim, we'll start this interview by looking into your background and career. Are you ready to get started?
Sure. Happy to be here today.
All right. Great. Let's get going. So to start, what initially sparked your interest in the field of persuasion and communication?
Well, I always loved to read as a kid. I devoured books pretty voraciously. So I was really interested in words and meaning and making arguments and reasoning. When I was a kid, I always wanted to be a lawyer. So a lot of exposure to that kind of industry, always interested in politics as well. So then when I got into high school and college, I started doing the speech team, and that just naturally led into a career focused on communication.
So can you expand on your roles and experiences while at Peru State College and Minnesota State University Moorhead?
So I went to Minnesota State University Moorhead straight out of getting my PhD as a faculty member in communication. I was the speech coach there, so traveled with students almost every weekend to competitions and doing that kind of thing. Taught about 20 different classes in communication while I was a faculty member. Gradually got interested in administrative work and worked my way up to be an assistant dean and then to be dean of the College of Arts, Media, and Communication there for 7 years. And then decided to go elsewhere and move up to a vice president position. So that's what I did at Peru State College for 8 years, a school very similar to West Liberty, and had a really, really good transition. Did a lot of community partnership work there, a lot of student success work, and just really learned a lot about higher education while I was a vice president there.
Teaching 20 different classes, that seems like a lot. How are you able to manage that workload?
Well, it wasn't all at once, but it was over the time that I was there. But it meant having to learn a lot of different topics and spin up a lot of different classes and being able to talk about everything from public speaking to intercultural communication to organizational communication to political communication. So it really dealt with a lot of different aspects of communication.
How do you feel all of those different things helped you as the president of West Liberty University so far?
Well, I think what's really helped is being able to create relationships with people. I think if you're a good communicator, you can have empathy, you have good listening skills, able to quickly diagnose problems and find solutions for them. And I think that that's really helped me to build the kind of relationships that I've been able to build so far here at West Liberty.
What do you feel is the biggest improvement you've made to this university as your time as president?
Well, I think just being present, a lot of people have given really positive feedback to showing up at student events or just being really engaged with the faculty and staff and with the community and with alumni. We were in Columbus last night for an alumni reunion. So those kinds of things, I think just being present, but probably strategic planning. We went through a very intentional process last year, a very inclusive process to really lay the groundwork for what we will accomplish here in the years ahead. And what I really tried to do during that process was communicate a lot, help people be involved in that process, and really try to find things that we could all agree would move the institution forward.
And I like that you're big on being a part of this community here at West Liberty. So I transferred from a Division I university last fall. And when I went there, I felt like I was just a number, whereas here I feel a lot more connected with everybody. So I really like that. So thank you for providing that, not only for me, but for my fellow students as well. And on the flip side of all of that, what has been the biggest challenge you've faced as president so far?
Well, I think the biggest challenge all of us are facing in higher education right now is enrollments. We know that there are fewer students period. There are fewer students going to college. So being able to be creative in offerings that will be attractive to those students, finding new programs that will attract new students, and trying to find new ways of delivering programs to bring in students that aren't seeking higher education currently are some of our biggest challenges. And we have a lot of work to do in those areas, but I think we've laid the groundwork for being able to launch some of those initiatives.
And how would you describe your leadership style, and how has it evolved over the years through all your different roles?
Well, I certainly have learned a lot through all my experiences, good, bad, and ugly. And I think you just learn from those and you try to remember, oh, not to make that same mistake again when doing something with people. Overall, I would say I try to be a transformational leader is the style of leadership that I try to embrace, where you create a vision. You do a lot of engagement with people to move them towards that vision. You try to be a good role model and be a servant leader in trying to get people to come along on achieving the vision. So that's the overall approach that I try to take.
That seems like a very good approach to me. I like that. So how do you envision the future of West Liberty University, and what goals are you focused on achieving in the coming years?
Well, I want to make it so all of you students have really great career options when you leave here, or options to be leaders in your community, options to go on to graduate school. So it really is thinking about what do you need to be able to take that next step successfully. I strongly believe experiential learning, like what you're doing right now, is a key aspect of that, to help you get the hands-on learning that you can then translate into answers to questions when you go for job interviews. Really trying to form community partnerships as well so that our students have opportunities in the community for internships, for job placements, so that they stay a part of this community.
You are listening to Academic Affairs, which is part of the four-part series titled Passionately Vocal. I'm your host, and I've got Dr. Tim Borchers here in the studio talking about his background and current role as the president of West Liberty University. We're going to go ahead and take a short break, but coming up, Dr. Borchers will talk about his book titled Persuasion in the Middle Age. You are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal.
Hello, this is Scott Moldy, the Sports Information Director at West Liberty. You're listening to WGLZ 91.5 FM. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal.
Welcome back, West Liberty. This is Alex. You are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Currently, you are listening to Academic Affairs, which is part three of the four-part series titled Passionately Vocal. I'm your host, Alex, and I've got Dr. Tim Borchers sitting across from me. In the first half of this interview, we talked about his background and current role as the president of West Liberty University. Now it's time to transition into talking about his book titled Persuasion in the Middle Age. So my first question for you for this is, what inspired you to write Persuasion in the Middle Age?
So I've always been interested in persuasion, like I said earlier, and when I was teaching a class on persuasion, really thinking about what the students were exposed to in terms of the media that surrounded them. And so I looked around, and the books that were out there didn't seem to fit with my vision of what I thought the students needed to know. So I looked at some theories and thought I could put these theories together to explain persuasion in a way that would make sense to students. So one semester I started writing the book, and I'd hand them all a chapter each week as I would be writing it, and got their feedback. They seemed really engaged with it. So then refine that going forward, and then finally got a national book contract right around 2000. And then the first edition came out in 2002.
So there's been four editions since then. How has it evolved over its many editions?
So like I said, the first edition was 2002 and the last one was 2022. So those 20 years, as many of you know, we've seen just dynamic changes in terms of media. So when I was writing about DVRs, and I don't know if any of you remember DVRs, but those allowed you to record shows so you could watch them at your own time. And back then, that was like revolutionary, right? We didn't have high definition TVs. You had to watch TV when it was on. So that really started to change things. And certainly now we've seen the whole shift to social media, where you can watch just about any show that you want to watch, whenever you want to watch it, on whatever device you want to watch. And so I think that's probably been a good way to characterize some of the major changes that have taken place. Of course, we've had a lot of changes in the political system, the political environment, advertising, different marketing strategies, all of those. But there have been some pretty dramatic shifts.
So to kind of build off that, how do you think the rise of digital and social media has changed the way we understand and practice persuasion?
So in the book, I go all the way back to before we even had language, or before we had written language, and people had to just communicate orally like we're doing now. They had to remember things. You had to create devices so that you could remember things, because you couldn't go look them up. And then when they had written language and they had books, that changed things, because now you could look things up, so you didn't have to remember everything. It also developed more logical reasoning, became more part of the way that we thought about things. And then when you move to the television age, now all of a sudden the image takes over, being more important than the word. And so that really dramatically changed how people persuaded each other and who was a successful persuader. And now, of course, with social media, it becomes so you don't need a huge media platform, right? You can get millions of followers, just yourself as an influencer. So it's really shifted that dynamic to more individuals and their ability to leverage social media to be persuasive.
What do you believe is the biggest misconception people have about persuasive communication?
Well, I think one of them is that you think it's really simple, that if we send this message to this audience, we'll get this kind of action. But whenever you're dealing with humans and with attitudes and emotions and with their belief systems, it's way more complicated than that. So there used to be some theories that pretty much said, oh, all you have to do is send this message and people will respond. And we have a much more nuanced view of all the context and the complications with persuasion now.
So with so much content vying for attention in today's media landscape, what are some key elements that make a message persuasive?
Well, it has to be memorable. It has to be something that people are going to recall. It has to be repeatable. And I think if you're looking at the political campaign right now, you see the same activities being repeated every hour on the news media. They're being retweeted, they're being sent out on TikTok. So it has to be repeatable, it has to be visual, it has to be short, because we don't pay attention to long things anymore. So it has to be memorable, short, repeatable, visual, and then you've got to have the right kind of hook for the audience to be able to engage with it.
I think you're absolutely right there. I remember a few years ago when I first got on TikTok, my attention span was a lot longer. And then as you like continuously scroll and scroll and scroll, you get to like 15 seconds. Okay, if you haven't captured my attention, I'm moving on to the next thing because I'm bored with this. So I think you're absolutely right when you make that statement. And how can individuals become more discerning and critical consumers of persuasive messages, especially in this age of misinformation?
So I think knowing who the source of the message is critically important. You can't just see something on TikTok and think, oh, that's true, and then go off and repeat it. You need to go back and look, is it a biased source? Is it even true? You know, misinformation, disinformation, artificial intelligence is generating things that look very real, but they're not real at all. So I think knowing the source, knowing the intent of the message helps you be critical of it. If you know that the intent is just to sell a product or just to sell a candidate, you should be a little more skeptical. And then really looking at the reasonings behind it. What are the reasons that the persuader gives you to believe what they're saying, and being critical and picking those apart to question statistics, question the evidence they might have, look at examples that may be outliers instead of representative. I think those are all ways we can be more critical.
What role do ethics play in a persuasive communication, and how can professionals balance persuasion with responsible messaging?
Well, I view persuasion really as a relationship you have with someone else to find the truth. And if you're not being honest, if you're not being ethical, if you're using misleading reasoning, then there's no way you're going to find the truth. So ethics, in my view of persuasion, is critically important for those individuals to be able to find truth so that they can improve their lives, improve the world, make the world a better place to be. So it's really important from that regard. Being ethical is a resource. I think you see a lot of businesses now that promote themselves as being ethical, because they know that sells products or that gets them customers. So I think being ethical can be a resource for them. And I think it's critically important that you don't undermine your credibility. Credibility is one of the key aspects of being a successful persuader. And if it comes out that you haven't been ethical, you don't have your credibility, you really don't have much to stand on then.
What trends or developments in media persuasion do you think will emerge in the coming years?
Well, artificial intelligence obviously is going to be a big one. And that was already part of the persuasive industry before we all started using ChatGPT. They were generating images, they were generating content, they were personalizing that content. So the persuaders and marketers were way ahead of the rest of us when it comes to artificial intelligence. So that will only increase, being able to send hyper-personalized messages that really target people. I think just the marketing strategies are going to continue to get more sophisticated. The more we use our phones and the more we leave our digital fingerprint all over the place, the easier it is for marketers to find us. So things like geofencing, where a marketer can focus on people who were, say, at a Taylor Swift concert and send them marketing messages after the fact, I think those are going to get even more sophisticated over the years, and it's going to be really difficult to know why you're being targeted or even that you're being targeted, and we'll end up being persuaded by things that we are losing more and more control over understanding.
So last question before we get you out of here and on to whatever else you have going on today. Do you see yourself potentially writing any more editions of this book in the future?
Well, I think, you always work with the publishers and the readers, the teachers use this book in their classes, and every so often the content gets stale. So I could see in another year or two needing to refresh it, being able to update it with new examples, being able to update it with new pictures, and really to focus on the technologies. Thankfully, I have a lot of artificial intelligence discussed in the current edition, so it'll be fairly current for that, but I'm sure things change dramatically, so I could see another edition coming soon.
All right. Well, with that, we've reached the end of Academic Affairs. This was part 3 of the 4-part series titled Passionately Vocal. I want to thank Dr. Tim Borchers for coming in today to discuss his background, his experiences as the president of West Liberty University, and for talking about his book titled Persuasion in the Middle Age. It is now time to get back to the music. My name's Alex, and you are listening to WGLZ. We are college radio, and we are passionately vocal.